We have a slight change this morning. The bulletin says that the Old Testament reading will be Genesis 45, 1 through 15. It will actually be Psalm 25, verses 1 through 7. Now, this psalm was probably written. David was concerned about imposing or requesting the Lord's to look upon him favorably for some of his sins, and because he was being persecuted by some folks who were saying things about him that weren't true. So please listen for the word of the Lord. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Do not let me be put to shame. Do not let my enemies exult over me. Do not let those who wait for you be put to shame. Let them be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your path and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I shall wait all day long. Be mindful of your mercy, O Lord, and of your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me. For your goodness sake, O Lord. This is the word of the Lord. New Testament reading this morning comes from the 18th chapter of Matthew, verses 21 through 35. Please listen for the word of the Lord. Then Peter came and said to him, Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And as he could not pay, his Lord ordered him to be sold, together with his wife and children and all his possessions, and payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the Lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii, and seized him by the throat. He said, pay what you owe. Then this fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me, and I will pay you. But he refused them, and he went and threw him into prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed. And they went and reported to their Lord all that had taken place. Then the Lord summoned him and said to him, you wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you? And in anger, his Lord handed him over to be tortured until he should pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart. This is the word of the Lord.
Let us pray. O Lord God, may the meditations of our hearts be focused on you this morning. Help us to understand these words of Scripture and apply them to our lives. Amen. Each Sunday, we pray the Lord's Prayer. And each Sunday, we pray this line, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And I would surmise that, like the rest of the Lord's Prayer, This line is so familiar that we pass it by without even thinking about it. That is, until we hear it put another way. And then this line, and that fact that we say it at least once a week, comes rushing back. At least it did for me when I read this beatitude this morning from Matthew 5, verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. This winter we are exploring the Beatitudes, which are sayings that begin the fifth chapter of Matthew. Matthew is known as the teaching gospel, for it is organized around the teachings of Jesus. And the very first teaching of Jesus that Matthew shares with us are the Beatitudes. So-called because they all begin with the word blessed. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And then the one that we are looking at this morning. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. It seems like a simple instruction. Be merciful to others and they will be merciful to you. Forgive us our debts as you forgive our debtors. But this isn't just anyone being merciful. Jesus here implies that it is God who will be merciful, just like in the Lord's Prayer. Blessed are those who show mercy to others, and God will show mercy on them. It is interesting that the concept of mercy is well developed in the Gospel of Matthew. Twice in Matthew, we have Jesus quoting the Old Testament saying, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. In Matthew, mercy is a broad term encompassing both compassion and forgiveness. Matthew has mercy is not just an attitude, but an action. Mercy is something that is done. And Matthew himself gives the best illustration of this beatitude in our passage that John read from the 18th chapter of Matthew. Here, a great king is settling accounts with his servants, people whom he had trusted with great responsibility. One of them had done poorly, and so now he owed the king money, a lot of money. The Bible says he owes 10,000 talents. Since it took several years for a typical worker of that day to earn a single talent, owing 10,000 talents would be the equivalent of owing billions of dollars. None of us could even remotely pay off a debt like that, and neither could this servant. The king threatened to have the servant's family sold into surgery to account for the debt, but the servant appealed, and the king, in an act of mercy, released him from his debt. And those listening to this parable of Jesus would expect this man to go out now and shower kindness on other people, just like Heather suggested. But instead, he does the opposite. When he comes upon a fellow servant who owes him a few bucks, he seizes this other servant by the throat and demands payment. The fellow servants ask for mercy and time to pay off his debt, but this appeal was flatly refused. And so when news of this shameful incident reaches back to the king called the servant to him and said, "You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave?" And the king delivers him to the jailers. Christian writer J. Ellsworth Callis writes about this parable. This is one of those stories that we are supposed to laugh at even as we get the point. The details of the story are wildly exaggerated. That's the mood the story is trying to get across, that all of us have been forgiven so grandly by God that any debt by us to another human being is so inconsequential so as to be, by comparison, ridiculous. And yet, we are often more like the servant than the king. We take the insignificant slights of life and make them significant, don't we? And we take the significant slights of life and make them monumental. Someone makes a comment about us at a party, and we take offense. We let that comment fester throughout the party and for long beyond. We can't even forgive a little offhand comment. Well, perhaps someone has missed a deadline and begs forgiveness, and we say, it's okay. But it really isn't. We get angry that we have to change our plans to accommodate his mistake. Insignificant slights, but we manage to make them something bigger because we can't really forgive those who offend us. But maybe that is because being merciful is really hard work. Christian scholar William Barclay wrote, "The biblical concept of mercy means the ability to get right inside the other's skin until we see things so we can see things with his eyes, think things with his mind, and feel things with his feelings." That means we have to make a connection with those with whom we are granting mercy. We can't remain detached in the mercy process. Instead, we need to engage and understand the remorse of the other person feels for their painful acts. We need to hurt with the person who hurts us. The unforgiving servant in Jesus' story does none of this. And while the king can look at the indebted servant and understand his predicament, the same servant shows no ability to do the same with his fellow servants. And there was a great cost to the king, a $1 billion cost. And yet it took that cost as the price of maintaining a relationship with the servant. If we are truly willing to forgive, to show mercy and compassion towards someone else, we must be willing to absorb the cost. And that cost is often giving up our own hurt, our own grudges, our own desire for revenge, which is often the result of the big wounds in our life. You know those sorts of wounds. The parent who abused you, a mate who betrayed you, a business associate undercut you, the friends who abandoned you, the children who have forgotten you. These are the wounds that cause us pain, and even more than pain, they cause a burning rage within us. We are consumed by these offenses, and revenge is on our minds and within our souls. And we hold on to these debts, don't we? We hold on to the resentment that is bred in the stew of hurt that we have received. We are left with a decision. Do we hold on to the feelings of hurt, resentment, and revenge, or do we find a way to release that burden, let go of the debts, and in the process, free ourselves? Christian writer Max Lucado shares a story about a friend of his named Daniel. Lucado says Daniel was a big, strong man, and his dream was to open a gym where he could help others get stronger and also provide for his livelihood. The bank agreed to finance the purchase of the gym if he could find someone to co-sign the note, and Daniel's brother agreed to do that. After the paperwork was filled out, Daniel waited for the approval. Everything went smoothly, and Daniel received a call from the bank telling him he could pick up the check. So after work, he went to the bank, and when he got there, he went to the loan officer, who looked surprised to see him. Daniel said he was there to pick up his check, and the loan officer said, "Well, your brother already came and picked up the check and used it to retire the mortgage on his house." Daniel was incensed. He stormed to his brother's house and pounded on the door. His brother answered, holding his infant daughter in his arms, for he knew that Daniel would not hit him if he was holding a child. And the brother was right. But Daniel left and promised his brother that if he ever saw him again, he would break his neck. The loan was in Daniel's name, so Daniel went back to his job to pay off his debt. He had to give up his dream of owning a gym, and he nursed his anger and his hope for revenge against his brother. Months and even years passed. The pastor of Daniel's church encouraged Daniel to find a way to forgive his brother, but Daniel couldn't. The hurt was just too deep. Daniel's brother knew of Daniel's anger and avoided him at all costs. But eventually they did meet face to face on a busy street in town. Daniel later wrote about the experience. I saw him, but he didn't see me. I felt my fists clench and my face grow hot. My initial impulse was to grab him around the throat and choke the life out of him. But as I looked into his face, my anger began to melt, for I saw in him the image of my father. I saw my father's eyes. I saw my father's look. I saw my father's expression. And as I saw my father's face, my enemy once again became my brother. Daniel walked towards him. The brother stopped, turned, and started to run, but he was too slow. Daniel reached out and grabbed his brother's shoulder. The brother winced, expecting the worst. But Daniel didn't grab his throat. Instead, he wrapped his arms around his brother and hugged him. And the two brothers stood in the middle of the crowd and wept. Daniel's words were, I saw my father and my brother's face, and my enemy became my brother. Now, there was a lot of work to do to come to terms with what had happened, but the initial step was taken. When he could see his father in his brother's face, and maybe we can see the Father in the face of those who have offended us, and maybe those that we hold as our enemies might become our brothers and sisters. And it might just lead us back to the words of Jesus, blessed are those who are merciful, for they will receive mercy. Amen.